one of the, to me, watershed thoughts about arts in America is this continual concern of the normal person's expression and the low art and the high art, the casual art and the formal art. And this was an elemental discussion identifying Americanism in the middle of the 19th century, and very much led by Ralph Waldo Emerson, and then eventually into the Transcendentalists, and of course the first Ur-American, Henry Thoreau, a little bit later in the 19th century. But Walt Whitman weighed in on this and is very often used as a bludgeon against we high arters, because he wrote that he had no use for the high arts and that it should be a voice of the common man and the person on the street. And of course, I hear America Singing, I hear the trainman, and I hear the carpenter, and I hear the steam, and I hear the anvils, and you know, all these, and the cotton, you know, whatever it is, he heard all this, which is a very, very beautiful poem about America, and very right. And his celebration of what he called, for lack of a better term, common man, what he then referred to as comrades and, you know, his fellow journeyman, as it were. When he first wrote that, he was writing because he had been sent as a stringer journalist. He kind of drew the short straw and had to go review classical, especially opera performances. And when he first came into contact with classical music and ergo opera, he found it terribly convoluted and complex and in some ways artifice or artificial. That quickly started to fade away, and you can see that in his writings. He quickly started to, probably just because of his mind and he had to figure out a way to get through this, he quickly started identifying the various structures of opera, i.e. recitative and aria, and then ensembles, and then flow of drama, ergo the concept of dramaturgie, the idea of a solo person or a person having a solo moment of reflection, like a bird on a pole, sounding more like Walt Whitman every moment, or the trumpeting sound of the clarion thought that is as clear as the sky that rolls above us in the clouds. He starts actually assuming these operatic images. And fast forward to the end of his life, he literally writes in this wonderful book called Walt Whitman and the Opera, he writes, "Without my knowledge and experience, as hesitant as I was to begin with, in the world of opera, I would not have achieved Leaves of Grass." This is an extraordinary statement. What is he talking about? Well, I'll tell you what he's talking about. All of his musical symbology that he has inside of Leaves of Grass, he's talking especially about this recitative aria thing. Now, this would be a perfect time to play Ethiopia Saluting the Colors by Henry Burleigh. This is such an absolute banner piece for my theory that you can teach history, American history, through poetry and music, but it's also in the structure of it. It is very much recitative and aria structured. And Burleigh is very clever in that he takes two melodies, one, the marching song, Marching Down to Georgia, and also Mary Has a Little Lamb, and they're very similar. And then you have kind of a hint of Dixie in there. But the idea that you're capturing these moments of sounds and thoughts of America in also a poem that is about the story of a private in George Sherman's army marching down, you know, Sherman's famous march to the sea. And this grunt of a private schlepping hungry and dusty down through Georgia sees an African woman in full African regalia for the first time in his life. And she's standing at attention saluting the soldiers. And the poem is, "Why are you doing that?" And he has an imaginary conversation with her in which she talks about being slaved and captured like a dog in the fields of Africa and brought over and separated from her parents. And she's saluting Sherman's army because the African-Americans thought Sherman was there to liberate the African-American community. And at the end of it, he politically, tragically and abysmally betrayed what was it that time, a throng of 120 or 30,000 African Americans following down here right into the heart of the Confederacy, and a bridge got burned and the fight went on and so forth, and these people were stranded and, of course, severely punished, probably several of them killed. It's a horrible story, and this poem is just the tip of the iceberg. But the miracle of this poem, Ethiopia Saluting the Colors, is already in the title. It isn't about African-American. It's about a woman, clearly from Ethiopia, in her beautiful regalia and glorious turbaned head, standing at attention and saluting the guidons moving by, while this confused grunt of a private schleps behind the hordes. And there's this wonderful conversation between the two, which identify realities of the perversion of politics, the insanity and obscenity of slavery, which I do belong to, have always belonged to the community that believes it is the great amphortas wound of our culture, is racism. And it's not just the African Americans. I'm not sure we'll ever be able to completely, well, never completely, but even adequately deal with the American Indian. It's a story that has no positive end. It only has the dimensions of horror that you're willing to confront. So, we're already now in the underbelly of the American culture, because American culture is a seething give and take of contrary cultures. It's a political miracle on one level and a humanistic nightmare on another. American history is born of such high-minded, wonderful stuff. And the American experiment is one of the great experiments in world history, and I believe that very sincerely. Tocqueville, in the middle of the 19th century, this Frenchman that came over and had a good look at America, his writings are probably more prescient than anyone's given him credit for. And I'm always interested that he's still quoted today, because he saw the underbelly of this common man issue versus the betterment of man issue of the humanities. And that's where this crux of folk poetry or folk music or popular music versus constructed poetry and constructed music starts in some sign of conflict. If you really want to put your finger right on the heartbeat of America, watch Ken Burns' recent series, 9-part series on the history of country music. Then you start hearing what Whitman was going after. You hear what, you know, this expression. And if every segment doesn't have somebody, some other famous country western singer or not so famous, saying, oh man, you know, it's all about the story. It's just the story. You got to go out and tell your story. You got to be real with yourself and tell the story, and your people will listen to you. Well, I think that's true even if it's a written poem and a devised music around it. You must be real and identify with why those words were chosen to say those things, and that music was chosen to illuminate, perhaps best said, the emotional context of what those things are being said. And that's the heartbeat, really, of a song. And how it's constructed is, to me, a different question of the prism through which this human story shines. And that's what I've tried to do in Song of America, is I try to identify all these various aspects that are bursting out in moments of song.